I'm in the, actually, it's the fourth, of a series I've been going on. I opened up just introducing going on a walk with God, because every time we have an encounter with God, I grew up in a period of time, and actually I traveled with a minister that was a great minister, and he'd have these big meetings in Coliseums, and man, people would line up for an encounter with God. I mean, the lines would be long, and there was an anointing for people to have an encounter with God. But here's the thing that is so true, is an encounter is not what you need altogether. You need to know him. You need to experience him. But you need to walk with him. Because, man, you can get healed. You can get, it's like all those lepers. You know, 10 lepers get healed, and they walk away healed. And only one of them goes back for what the real experience would be, is to walk with Jesus, to be changed by him. Amen? So we came out, just for everybody, I'll just review this real quick. We came out of January fast, and I was really prompted to, what should we be doing with an experience in God? If we've been changed with him, let's don't just go back to the way we were. Let's walk with him. Amen? So we want to look at what walking means, and found out it means every step you take is being affected by sensory input, and it needs to be coming from God. Amen? So, but I wanted to look at four different aspects of walking. So the first one is walking in the Spirit. Our walk is not going to be a natural walk. It's going to be a spiritual walk, right? And we went through that, and then we saw that it's going to be a walk of faith, isn't it? We looked at this last week. And what is faith? That's going into the unknown. It's not going to be something that we can figure everything out. In fact, if you figured it out, it's not faith. If you've already got it in your hand, it's not faith. So we saw that last week. So what I want to look at today is the third part of this is faith doesn't work, though, unless it has, and I'm going to call this motivation. Let me see what I got here. Let me see. Make sure I got this right. Motivation, destination. So if you're going on a walk, why are you going on a walk? And they've come up with these cool things today where you can go and go on a walk for no reason other than to be healthy. You know, you can just get on a treadmill and you can go for a walk. But that's not really going for a walk, is it? It's just moving your legs. Because if somebody says, hey, let's go for a walk, what's he talking about? He's saying, you're going to have to be motivated to actually go somewhere. And I'm going to put another part of this in here too. Do you like to make up? Braden was saying this yesterday. He said, Poppy, I like to make up words. Anybody make up words? You know, there's just not an English word for it, you know. Actually, it was kind of cool when I put this word in here because I have a Mac that I'm working on, and I wanted to look and see if that's actually a word. And it said, would you like to add this to your to your library of words? Because it's not yet. It's not really a word yet. But I like this. I want to call this inseparation. It's kind of, so it comes from the idea of being inseparable. Because here's when, so we're going to talk about love today. And love is what makes faith actually work. Because it ensures that the motive is right for what going into the unknown, right? And then it ensures that your destination, we're going to talk, this is really going to be good because this is, God has a purpose for our faith that's way beyond us. And it needs love for it to work, okay? And then what's really cool is when we get into that place, the aspect of love that we receive from him becomes something that is, you can't take it away. Aren't you grateful for that from God? Have you ever just acted in a way that you know God did not like that, you know? And yet you go back to him and what does he say? I'm not going to judge you right now. I'm going to embrace you. Is that right? It's like nothing I can do can keep me from being loved by my Father. Amen? And he's saying, I'd like you to come along on this walk. It's going to be like I love. Amen? So we're going to look at this. But so I want you to understand out of Hebrews, it talks about, what do you have to do to please God? Well, you have to have faith, don't you? But then in Galatians 5, it says, but faith only works by love. Isn't that cool? So if we're gonna act and walk in a way that's gonna please the Father, it's gonna be faith, but it's only gonna be faith by love. So we're gonna look at the love aspect. Do you mind if I sing a song today? This is just in the series that I've got, and man, I just could not pass this up, singing this song, because it talks about this. Man, we've been given love, haven't we? And it's how we please the Father, in faith. And here's what's really cool about this, is mountain-moving faith requires love, doesn't it? Amen? It's all about love, because it makes sure that your motive and your direction are right. Amen? So I'm going to give this a go. I was going to have Hunter do this, but I thought, you know what? Let me just do it, and we'll... I believe this will be anointed. Can you just lift your hand right now and just receive an anointing as I sing this? Amen. This is good, though. And it talks about love that is the Father's heart, that where all things he will impart, it's going to be through this love element. Amen. All right. So listen in faith. All right, crank up the music. You need it a little bit louder, my voice. Start. Okay, now we're going to get it. I didn't even have my mic on, so we're good. There we go. All right, let's get it even a little bit louder. I'm going to get up here where I can hear me. I've received beyond what eyes can see enables me to speak the great Almighty. The power that knows no bounds, it speaks unto the mount, commands things to come out, all things are possible. It's love that is the Father's heart. It's love that all things he would impart. And the faith that makes all this possible begins to do his work where love's abiding. That I've received beyond what eyes can see enables me to please the great Almighty. The power that knows no bounds, it speaks unto the mount, commands things to come out, all things are possible. It's love that is the Father's heart. It's love that all things he would impart. And the faith that makes all this possible begins to do his work where love's abiding. It's love that is the Father's heart. It's love that all things he would impart. And the faith that makes all this possible begins to do its work where love's abiding. Abide in me. Love that removes all impossibilities. Come, stay, remain, abide.
Abide in me, love that removes all impossibilities. Come stay, remain, abide in me. This love that I've received, beyond what eyes can see, enables me to please the great Almighty. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for beyond what we can even imagine, Lord God. You've received us and you paid the price for us, and it's all love that made that happen. Amen. How many know that our Father is a faith being? He didn't just send Jesus and pay all that price for nothing. He sees us in Christ. Aren't you grateful for that? And you know what makes that possible? Love. There's things in our life that the impossibilities, this element is going to make all the difference. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know what perfect love does? It gets rid of fear, doesn't it? All right, I got some ideas about that, but let's just go ahead and get into this. Let's pray before we do. Father, we thank you so much. God, we thank you that we've had our face in your face today. And God, we love you. We thank you for your presence. Lord, right now I just sense that everybody is looking away from things around them in the world, and they're fixing their gaze on your face, Father God. And we just believe that you want to reveal yourself to them in a way that's going to open up doors, remove impossibilities, Lord God, and cause them to be secured in a place that they'll never have to go from. Confidence in your presence, Lord God. Thank you for it. Thank you, Father. Make this effective, we pray in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. So, Romans 6:4, let's get into this. An encounter with Jesus was followed by an invitation to follow and walk with him. So Jesus did this all the time on earth when he would heal somebody, when he would do, you know, have an encounter with somebody, he'd say, now follow me. And he wasn't just saying, walk behind me, don't ever get close. No, he's talking about having an ongoing encounter with him, right? So let's look at Romans 6:4, and this is really the purpose of resurrection life isn't just so that we rise and say, whoo, it's good to be free. No, it's good to rise so that we can walk. Amen? Amen. So sharing in his death by our baptism means that we were co-buried and entombed with him. So that when the Father's glory raised Christ from the dead, we were also raised with him. We have been co-resurrected with him. For what reason? So that we could be empowered to walk in the freshness of new life. Isn't that good? Praise God. So this is the purpose. If that's why he rose, we got to find out what walking looks like, right? And we've looked at walking in the Spirit, walking by faith, and we're going to look at love today. So walking in love, and there's three elements of this that I want to look at. Man, there's so much in the Word about what this is. 1 Corinthians 13. I missed this. This should have been last month. It was Valentine's month and all that. But we're here right now. So I just want to kind of look at it a little bit different and say, you know, what does it mean to walk in love? And what does it mean to go on a walk? And these three elements of this: motivation, destination, and inseparation. And receive my word here as a new word in your life, all right? So Ephesians 5:1-2. And what I want to establish is the motivation of the heart of the Father. Why Jesus came, there was a motive, there was a reason why he came and walked on this earth. And every step he took. You say, well, where do you think Jesus is going? Well, let's look at this, because there's a reason why he was here walking on the earth, right? Ephesians 5, 1 through 2. Be imitators of God in everything you do, for then you will represent your Father as his beloved sons and daughters and continue to walk surrendered to the extravagant love of Christ. For he surrendered his life as a sacrifice for us. His great love for us was pleasing to God like an aroma of adoration, a sweet healing fragrance. So we get our example from him. This is sin. This is where we get it from, right? Let's start looking at this. Love is the motivation, destination, and inseparation of a walk with Jesus. From him, we know how. So we're just going to look at some motivations. And we're not even bringing up the word love yet, but that's where we're going with this, okay? What is his motive for coming? 1 John 4:19. So you see, our love for him comes as a result of his loving us first. If anyone says, I love God, but keeps on hating his brother, he is a liar. For if he doesn't love his brother, who is there in front of him? Who is there in front of him? How can he love God whom he has never seen? So this motivation, let's look at this. Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man came to seek and save those who are lost. So let's just look at this motivation. Why did he come? He came for lost, didn't he? He came looking for people that were lost. Is that right? Okay, let's look at this next one, John 10:10. A thief has only one thing in mind. He wants to steal, slaughter, and destroy. But I have come to give you everything in abundance, more than you expect, life in its fullness until you overflow. So the motivation is life, isn't it? He's coming to give life. And I like how he compares this to a worldly approach. You know, even in the world, a lot of times we say, oh, I love them. Why do you love them? Because of what they do for me. And that's why there's such a problem with relationships, is because really what you've come to do is still kill and destroy. You know, not to that degree, but you know what I mean. Jesus has come to with a different motive. His whole purpose is to provide life. Okay? So this is the motivation of his coming. He came because of love, but listen, he's showing the motivation of this, all right? Okay, so John 3:17. God sent his Son into the world not to judge the world. Why did he come? But to save the world. Amen? So this getting an idea of, if we're looking at where we're going to get love, an example from God for love, it's going to be the reason for my walk is to save. Okay? Is this right? This is the whole purpose of Jesus coming. Let's keep going. Luke 19:41. But as he came closer to Jerusalem and saw the city ahead, he began to weep. So that he was on a walk and he comes up to Jerusalem. And what does he do? He starts weeping. Why was he weeping? Goes to the heart, the thing that was driving him, his motive. It was for people, wasn't it? His reason for walking every time. Where's Jesus going? Oh, he's going to find somebody. He's going to make a difference in somebody's life. He's going to love. Okay? So, well, let me finish this part. Matthew 20:28. Your attitude must be like my own. So Jesus is saying, so this is not just for me. This is for you also, right? Your attitude, it should be like mine. For I, the Messiah, did not come to be served, but to serve. And to give my life as a ransom for many. So, and we say, yeah, man, Jesus, man, he really had, you know what he's doing? Every time he's saying, come walk with me. What's his walk he's talking about? He's talking about walking in love. That your whole purpose of every step now becomes a destination. It's not the one just to feed your own supply, but it's for people. Can you see that? Now this, you know, you can say, well, man, that's just really religious. It's not, no, and he also says, I came to give life, but for you to find this life, you're going to have to lose your life. And in the middle of this is the core of who we are. It's our love. You know, there's a scripture that says you can't love the world and love the Father at the same time. If you love the world, the love of the Father isn't in you. Is that right? Well, what does it look like to love in the way that the Father loves? It's where you lose yourself and every step about you becomes somebody else. Is this right? If you're going to go walk with Jesus, it's like, oh, follow, I will follow you. Well, it's going to look like his kind of love, not my kind of love. It's not based upon what somebody looks like, what they're going to do for me at all, right? I'm not looking to get anything at all. I'm not wanting anybody to serve me at all. Is that right? My purpose in my walk now is transformed from what I get to what I get to do, what I get to provide. Amen? All right. And I like this next one. I like what I came up with here for this. It's about laying down. So the motive is people, but how is that going to take place? And what does it look like when love is actually taking place, when you're actually operating, walking in love? It's laying down and laying up. Okay, so that doesn't make so much sense, but let's look at it. Because there's going to be a laying down of your life and a laying up of your treasures in a place that's not on this earth. Amen? 1 John 3:16. We know what real love is from Christ's example in dying for us. And so we also ought to do what? Lay down our lives for our Christian brothers. So, what does love look like? I don't know, but now I just like the way I feel when I look at her. I like, she's not going to like this, but I like to kiss. All the stuff that I'm liking isn't necessarily God's love, is it? So what am I providing? Well, she likes to kiss too. I'm just making her happy. I'm just trying to please her. Just to provide for her needs. But the motive where it's going to come from God. And if we're going to walk with him, it's going to be in the spirit. It's going to be by faith. But what are those faith elements? What are we believing God for? Where are we going into the unknown for? The motive has to be something, not just me. Amen? Now, what's really cool is you will not lack for any good thing when you're walking in this way. Amen? It's like the rich young ruler. What did Jesus say to him? He said, what do I have to do to have this eternal life? He said, well, you got to go get rid of all that stuff that you think is yours. Right? And do what? Follow me. Go for a walk with me. Is that right? And what did he made a choice, didn't he? He said, he didn't see that on the other side of a walk with Jesus was a value so much more than what he could ever hold in his hands. Is that right? Okay. Matthew 11, or 13. I'm having to use some different glasses, so you just bear with me here this morning. I'm trying to see these letters. Okay. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls who, when he had found one pearl of great price, what did he do? Went and sold all that he had and bought it. But I think there's a couple different parts going on here. This merchant is doing what? He's looking, isn't he? Here's an element that is, I think it's the maturity side. It's like a child. When a child is, I'm sorry, Haley and Luke, those kids are so selfish. It's so funny. They're kids. That's just, kids are kids, you know. But they're in there. It's so funny. And I'm sorry. They have to deal with it, but I can walk away. I've been through that already. But, you know, they're in there playing a game. And it's so funny. If they think they didn't get their turn, it's like, I mean, it turns into a wailing session. And it's like, and they take it personal. Why? Because when you're a child, everything's about you. Right? And this really cool thing about God is he we come to him, and a lot of times because of what's in his hand, isn't it? I need something, right? I didn't get my turn. You know, it's like, and he provides for us, but he wants to grow us up because he needs us to be mature. He needs us not to stay kids. Right. I've always thought this way. It's like, I wish I could get away with that. You know, it's like, we were in an airport terminal of kids doing that thing. You know, they can just, you know, they can just act weird and everything. And it's like, but no, there's a growing up. And what is growing up? It's where your life is not about you anymore. It's about taking care of somebody else. Is that right? And church isn't just so that you can take care of yourself better. And I even, you know, I've been at churches before where it said, how many want to receive something from God today? And, you know, that sounds like a noble thing. But I don't know. It's like, my reception from God needs to be a continual thing, but what is the motive? Not getting something from God, but providing something from God. Amen? So my well needs to be full so I can have something to provide, but the filling of my well is not for me anymore. Amen? The filling of my well is so that I can love, because love can never be self-centered. It's not about what somebody's going to bring into my life. It's what I'm going to bring into theirs. Aren't you grateful that this is what we get from God? Amen? He loves our praises. He loves us as, you know, giving in the offering. We're not getting brownie points with God. He's taking us into a place of faith where we can actually live by faith. Amen? You know, he's going to use whatever we give, and it's an important thing. But you know what? The motive becomes very critical, that our motive is driven by love. Amen? Jesus laid down everything. And this is what love looks like. Amen? All right. John 15:12. I demand that you love each other. Okay. Just leave me alone. As much as I love you. And here is how to measure it. The greatest love is shown when a person does what? Lays down his own life for his friends. They don't even have to be a family member. Might be easier, actually, if it's not family sometimes. But what there has, so in the love of God, there has to be a laying down. This is a critical part of this, I believe. Especially if we're going to walk in love. There's going to be a laying down that will proceed, that will be in every step. Amen? And Jesus isn't just saying, this is a nice suggestion. What is he saying? I demand this. Isn't this good? And you start to look at this and you get... Sometimes I've had a difficulty because Jesus said, if you can just love, the whole law is fulfilled in love. This makes sense when you start to see the motive of everything that we're doing. It requires a laying down. So I'm going to lay down how I feel about what somebody's done to me, and I'm going to go ahead. What does that mean? I'm going to go ahead and treat them like they never did it. Is that right? Wow. Okay. So there's also a laying up here, though, that I just want to touch on real quick. Because what happened, you know, in that one parable that Jesus is talking about, the guy looking for the pearl, what is he doing? He's setting a priority of treasure, isn't he? Of what is valuable. You just can't get around this. That to walk with Jesus, your love for people has to be of a higher value than things. Amen? And yourself. How many want to sign up for it now? You know? This is the truth, though, isn't it? And what's really cool about this is there are endless, it's like the song I just sang, there are impossibilities that are removed when love begins to be your walk. How many have been offended by somebody? How many has it been a stronghold in your life? Now, this isn't condemnation for that, man. People can hurt you. Church can hurt you. Very significantly. And here's the thing. God knows about that. And his answer isn't to coddle and say, I just feel sorry for you. Go ahead and care for that wound. No, he says, love is the answer. Where you rise above it and it becomes impossible for you to be offended in a way that's going to get you out of faith and out of the spirit. Amen. Can you see how powerful love can be? It can heal wounds. And you don't have to go. This is the thing. It's wonderful to get counsel from somebody that can help you. But if they're not guiding you into the way of love, they might be helping you deal with how you're thinking about it. But the core of it is in your heart. Amen? And there has to be an adjustment of values to where people are, and you say, well, so you're saying I value people, but the people are the one that are a problem. But this is how we know how to love these very same people is the way we've been loved. That's why that first phrase in that song says, this love that I've received, what is it? It's a love that has nothing to do with me. Amen? It's a setting of the heart to where the value of that person is so high that they can do nothing that can cause me to get into strife. Amen? This is really odd because it doesn't make natural sense. God loves us so much that he's never going to be offended by us. It just doesn't make sense, does it? But that's God's way. And he's saying, I'd like to have you go on this walk with me. When you go on this walk with me, you're going to be more mature than you ever were before. You're not going to be a whiny-hiney anymore. Want your own way, and you're going to be unoffendable. And this is really odd, but the reason why somebody can offend you is because you value yourself above them. Does that make sense? But when you begin to see them as somebody that Jesus gave his life for, you understand that what they're doing is not something that is from them. It's something that Jesus took care of on the cross. That forgiveness is already theirs. And so you value them so highly that you're not going to allow them to offend you. Amen? This is what God's example is for us. Isn't this good? Praise God. Okay, I was talking about treasures, wasn't I? So, the treasures of heaven are different than the treasures of the earth. This is why, you know, sometimes we've heard about the streets of heaven being paved with gold, and we think, wow, I can't wait for that. That's like way rich. You know why they're paved with gold? Because gold isn't worth like it is here. You know, the value of heaven is not the material things. It's not the pearly gates. It's not all that kind of stuff. All that stuff is really an example, because all it is there to show you how much more value heaven's currency is. It's the people that arrive there. Amen? And he said, I'm calling you into a realm where where the treasures that you're laying up are not treasures that this earth can take away anymore. And so you're not afraid of, see how this perfecting of love can affect fear? You're not going to be afraid of losing anything. Because what you're laying up is treasures of heaven. Don't store up treasures here on earth where moths eat them and rust destroys them and where thieves break in and steal. Store your treasures in heaven. And you think, well, sheesh, I got about 10 bucks. I think I'll put that in the offering. No, that's not the treasures. Amen. We give everything that we have, but the heavenly treasures that we lay up can only be laid up in love. Amen? Can you see this? Store your treasures in heaven where moths and rust cannot destroy and thieves do not break in and steal. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be. Now, I'm talking about some lofty thoughts here, aren't I? I mean, this is like way out there according to a natural way of thinking, isn't it? This is why you can't just go for a walk and end up in God's love. You know, you can't just say, well, I think I'll go for a walk and I'll end up in God's. No, you have to walk with Him. And this is the wonderful part of this. He doesn't say, I just expect you to go do this. Here's all the passages on love, 1 Corinthians, what they are. We're commanded to love, but how do we love? We don't love out of our own energy, out of our own mind, out of our own intentions, out of our own deciding. Amen? We love because He loves us and we're on a walk with Him. Amen? We can only walk because we're seeing Him do it. We can only do it because it's a supernatural transformation in our being that changed. He says, this is how they'll know that you know me. Is how? Not because you build nice big buildings and have big churches. No, it's because you love. And what's that going to look like? You don't act the same way everybody else acts. You keep ministering to people, providing for them, caring about them, even when they treat you a certain way. Amen? Can I use a? We were praying last night. I encourage all the men. We're going to try to figure out when we can all get together because we really need to be praying together, and it's what we're going to do. But Derek and I were praying last night, and he was talking about a certain president. I won't name him because I don't want to cause any issues. But how he was winning widespread, you know, in across the whole country, except for in the state where his opponent was from. And he chose not to even put any ads in that state because he didn't want to beat him in his own state. He cared about that person, even though he was beating him. Did I say that right? Somewhat right? You know, and I don't know if that's a great example, but there needs to be that same kind of heart. It's like, you know what? And you know, we were praying about Iran right last night also. And you know, how many are grateful for some, it appears to be potential advances being made, you know, for a lot of people, but you know, I thought every time one of those bombs goes off, there's some innocent person, you know, that's losing their life. And we shouldn't just be heartless, even with our enemies. You know, in fact, Jesus said that. He said, you know, it's easy to love somebody that you're close to. Where it really makes a difference is your enemies. Somebody that's out to kill you. Jesus is on the cross. He says, forgive them. They don't even know what they're doing. Man, He's loving right there, isn't He? That's when God's love is completely separated from the world's love. Amen? Because the world's love will still kill and destroy and rejoice over an enemy put down, where the love of God is still caring about the enemy, that they be restored somehow. Amen? And this goes into how we walk, though, in our life. And aren't you grateful that this is our provision in Christ? You know, I'm so grateful for all the blessings and promises we have. But, oh, my goodness, none of them are worth anything. They're all clanking cymbals, right? They're just a bunch of noise. If the motive and the direction, where are we going? Where are you going today? Where was Jesus? He's looking for a pearl. But in separation is two parts of this. And aren't you grateful that there's nothing that can separate us from the love of God? Amen? It's beyond what people can even begin to see. It's God's love for us. Amen? Let me read this. So that's the God part. So this in separation thing is that nothing can separate us from him. And here's the deception. What the enemy wants to come in and says, look how bad you were. Look how much you failed. And I'm telling you, this is something that you can hear this, but it has to be brought up in that moment when you're challenged in this. Because it never stops being a challenge. The enemy always wants to come up and say, you're not quite as close to God as you once were. And it's because of you. Because of something you've done. Is that right? And what's God saying all this time? Now, the same blood that was shed for you back then is available for you right now. And he loves you no differently. Nothing can separate you from his love. What does that mean? Not just his pat on the back. His extravagant provision for everything that you need in life comes with his love. Is that right? Okay. Man, I like you that you're all agreeing. That's really helpful. Okay. Romans 8:39. There is no power above us or beneath us. Don't you like this? Nothing. No power could ever be found in the universe that can distance us from God's passionate love. Aren't you glad I came up with in separation? This is a very important word, isn't it? Amen. I think that it's probably like a Greek word or something. You know, it's like, all right. Which is lavished upon us through our Lord Jesus, the Anointed One. Boy, that's pretty flowery, isn't it? Nothing can separate. Aren't you grateful for that? Man, we can just bask in the wisdom and the wonder of that. Amen? And then we bask in the encounter of his love. And then we get up off of our knees at his feet. And he says, okay, let's go for a walk. Because the love that I've lavished on you is what I want to be your walk. Amen? It's not a walk of constraint. It's a freedom walk. When you walk in this love that frees you from all strife and division and judgment. You know that's what the opposite of love is. It's judgment, isn't it? Right? And so there's the God side. Oh, man, you have to get revelation of that. In fact, you can't get into the love walk yourself until you become fully ensconced in the revelation that there's nothing can separate you. As long as you're living in an oppression about guilt, about any, man, there's an opportunity today in the presence of God to be freed from all guilt, anything that you've done wrong. Amen? Because the crux of what we're talking about here today doesn't happen until you go through this door of reception. Amen? Until you've received this revelation of God. And I grew up in church. My dad was a pastor. But sometimes in the church you can get things put upon you that are condemnation. Based upon, and it's misperceptions, but it's real. And you feel like you have to get better before God's going to like you. You know? You have to measure up before he's going to accept you. And when it comes to his love, That's not true. All you need to do is go to him. Amen? All he needs you, all he wants from you is, you know, we talk about I love your presence. He loves our presence. Why? Because when he gets our presence, he can do something with that. Amen? He receives us just the way we are. But what's really cool about the reception of God is it doesn't leave us the way we are. It transforms us. Amen? Praise God. And then what he does is he says, what's in the revelation of your freedom from all condemnation is your ability to be freed from the weight of judgment of others. Amen? This is the most powerful thing we get from God, really. Because it opens up the possibilities for faith and all those things that we can believe him for. They're not going to happen until we get through this door of love and start making our steps ordered by love. Amen? Okay, so the other part, this is us, right? 1 John 4:19. Our love for others is our grateful response to the love of God first demonstrated to us. You know you've actually received it when you have a response of it. Amen? Anyone can say, I love God, yet have hatred toward another believer. This makes him what? A phony. Because if you don't love a brother or sister whom you can see, how can you truly love God whom you can't see? For he has given us this command, whoever loves God must also demonstrate love to others. Now, that demonstration sometimes can be something, well, I got to get on this. But don't you know, what is love? Even what we're talking about right now, it's a fruit, isn't it? It's a fruit of the Spirit. So really, this demonstration is an indication of something that's already taken place on the inside. Amen? And really what we're getting in some of this revelation is a way to say, oh, I need to abide in love. Don't you? And I like this that ending of the song I sang. It's abiding in his love that enables his love to come out. That demonstration that needs to happen doesn't happen because we're trying. It happens because we're abiding in it. Amen? Did any of this make sense? Amen? It's our hope. It's our freedom. It's our deliverance. Amen? And God has some great things before us that require our motive be right and our destination be right. Where are we going? Well, we are looking. We are looking for a pearl. We're looking for a treasure from heaven. Amen? So that we can pour out our lay down our lives and make sure that they're getting what they need.